Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
These niggas hating on low, low. They don't wanna see me make it. They tryna sabotage my show, show. They don't wanna see me make it. I hit your city, you ain't show, show. They don't wanna see me make it. They don't wanna see me grow, grow. They don't wanna see me make it. Yeah. I swear this shit so sad, sad.
Hey, that DJ go messing with my music. I'm about to fire them. I'm about to fire this DJ. What's up, y'all?
DJ.
Minds Radio in the building. It's Mufasa Ra. I got Brother Kev and Lil Lachey with me. What's up, y'all?
What's up, Brother Mufasa? What's good? Peace, Hotep, Islam, Shalom. You know, all that good stuff. Peace to the guys.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. See, now I'm feeling quite empowered now.
There you go.
You
go.
He excited about that Bitcoin that he
When I tell y'all we gonna do a show dedicated strictly to Bitcoin, because family, I'm gonna just say this here: you do not want to miss this wave. You know what I mean? This is the best investment ever in human history, and Boyce Watkins said that. You know what I mean? So I don't know if y'all familiar with Boyce Watkins, but he's a black financial advisor, guru, whatever you want to call it. But even he said, this is the greatest investment in human history, and we're just at the beginning. So if you don't know, do your research. There will be a show coming from Collective Minds on Bitcoins and how to get started. So just stay tuned. You know, follow us. Stay tuned.
Yeah, that's what's
that's
up, y'all.
Fine now,
what's
up, y'all? Right.
Look at that. We all out of order. Come on, let's get it together, y'all. So that's Brother Kev's announcement for the day is Bitcoin, y'all. Prepare for Bitcoin. If you ain't heard about it, be ready to hear about it from us. Lola said, you got any announcements you want to make?
Oh, yeah, I just want to remind everybody about the Escape for the Homeless coming up Monday, December 11th at St. Louis Stadium. And I'll do another reminder next week as well. But if you have anything that you, if you can't make the event and you do want to participate and be a support and a blessing to others who are less fortunate, you have anything that's new and unwrapped, you can drop it off at any of the Sweetie Pie's location. And if you want to make the event, if you bring it to the event, you get in free. And that's it.
All right.
Cool.
That's what's up.
That's dope.
Cool. Well, hey, I got an announcement for y'all. I recently have been asked to take a position as vice president for a new business that's coming up.
Nice. Congratulations, bro.
Thank you. This business venture will be, I don't know if you guys are familiar with reentry homes, but it's we want to set up a reentry home for women when they come out of prison. So they'll be allowed to, you know, come to this home and get training and kind of get reintroduced back into society. So,
yeah,
you know, be
nice.
Looking
that's
be
dope.
Looking for that coming up. It's at the ground level right now, so I'll give y'all more information as the time goes on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about lending a hand and trying to help our community even more. So
yeah,
you know, be ready, y'all. Be ready for it.
That sounds good. I got one more thing, Mufasa, before you go. Because I was receiving texts and emails, so I just want to give a shout out to our very own Lil Lachey, who debuted on Sweetie Pie's TV show. Our sister is on Oprah. People were sending me clips of the video. I say, oh man, we all the way to the top now. So shout out to Lil Lachey. She, you know, she's making her debut on national television. So congrats. And don't forget about the little people when you blow up, Love Lachey. We see them all still here. Don't forget about us.
I'm sure Love Lachey got something to say.
I am. That's all I have.
What
I would like to know who sent that picture, though. You say you received a picture?
You know, yeah, some mutual friends sent some screenshots of you on the episode.
You got to share that with me.
Yeah, it was a fun experience. It was definitely a fun experience.
Yeah, well, that's what's up, y'all. Look like the good things to come for Collective Minds down the road, y'all. So hang with us, and we're trying to do as best we can, trying to do a good work for the community, and trying to help our people out. You know, we want to bring awareness and positive things to y'all. So stick in there with us, support us, hang in there with us. But today's show, we want to talk about something that's really troubling and is bothering a lot of people across the globe. It's this thing going on. Modern day slavery is kicking back off in Libya. You know, I don't know if you guys have been following what's going on in Libya, but you got migrants who have been migrating from different parts of the continent of Africa in search of trying to get to Europe in search of a better life. You know, some of these people are coming from Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, and they're trying to escape drought and famine. You know, Somalia, this is the third famine in 25 years. The one they had in 2011 killed over 250,000 people. So you got a lot of these countries are fleeting, fleeting. Let me get my thoughts together, y'all. Or fleeing, you know, the country in search of a better life. So, say, they're trying to go up to the northern part of Libya, and from there they're trying to get across the ocean into Europe. One of the problems is these European countries really don't want them migrating there. You know, they got their own issues going on, so they don't want these people migrating there. And with what happened in Libya, in my opinion, with the fall of Gaddafi, is what's allowing a lot of these migrants to get jammed up in these situations, because that country, Libya, right now was very unstable. You know, at the time when Gaddafi was in power, it was a lot more stable than what it is now. So I'm getting some feedback from one of y'all. There we go. So we getting
that might have been me. Sorry about that.
Okay, it's all good. So yeah, in Libya, like I say, it's unstable right now, and so that's how a lot of these people are getting preyed upon when they come to Libya, and people are preying on them. People are robbing them, taking what they have. They getting traded off for like a few hundred dollars. You know, not even a lot of money. So it's a sad situation that these people are leaving their home countries, trying to get to a better life, or go to live a better life, and people are preying on them. So, you know, we want to talk about this today, see if we can figure out what's going on, why it's going on, and what can we do to try to help this situation, because slavery, you know, is wrong by any means, in my opinion. And it's a shame that in 2017, coming to 18, that we got people still being bought and sold. You know, it's ridiculous. So I'm going to pass that to Love Lachey, Brother Kev. What's y'all thoughts on this matter?
Well, I think this is, I think it's a very sad thing. You know, it's horrible. Slavery has always been horrible and a very disgusting thing, and it's very arrogant on behalf of the person who was doing the enslaving, and very ignorant of them to think that they are entitled to even do that. And, I can't ever condone something like that. I don't even see how it's justified in somebody's head, you know, other than them just being, you know, a sick individual. They definitely have to be sick to even be able to try to justify that. You know, how do you rationale enslaving someone? You know, I think it's just a horrible situation, and it's very unfortunate. But to me, everything still goes back to spirituality, though. You know, it's a spiritual battle. And I think, you know, that at some point, to fight these types of things, we have to have a strong spirit, a spiritual mind, and to be able to try to figure out different ways to fix these things. I don't think we're supposed to live like this. I'm not a Christian to say to just accept it and deal with it until God comes back. You know, I don't think it's intended for anybody to live in slavery. You know, I think something should be done and something could be done, but the right mindset has to be in place in order for something to happen. You know, but that's really all I have to say at this point, other than I just think it's a sad thing, you know. It's always sad. It just makes me think back to, you know, when slavery was going on, you know, back in the day, the same things that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and everybody else, Marcus Garvey was for, all those things. It's a horrible thing. I can't say surprisingly that I'm surprised that it's still happening, though, you know, because just the hearts of men, it's just we haven't fixed our hearts, and our people don't know their purpose. So I'm not surprised we subject to all kind of crazy and foolish things now, you know, even more so because it's just getting more chaotic. I know I expressed this before. I know you guys sometimes agree with me, but I think a lot of it is population as well. I think we're overpopulated. Not saying that the earth isn't large enough to house the people that's here, but what I mean by overpopulated is just the fact that there's so many people and no one is organized and going, you know, we're not united. So when you have so many people, everybody going here and in different directions, it's just a bit chaotic. If you can just have a bird's eye view of the earth, the world, you will see so much confusion, and it'll just be so chaotic. So you're liable to see anything. You know, I was just driving, trying to make it home last night, and end up being stuck on the highway because somebody got shot on the highway, road rage. You know, that's foolish.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's like, how can you become so angry, uncontrollably angry, that you're driving a vehicle on the highway and you whips out your gun, your pistol, and you start shooting at the next car? You know, how do you become so angry? You know, we lost out here. There's a lot of people, a lot of lost souls, a lot of lost people that's just basically just walking around lost like zombies and just doing anything, no control over themselves. You know, and that's everywhere. It's because it's just human everywhere. And that's mm-hmm. how you can end up being what we're talking about, situations like this. You know, enslaving someone and beating them, the things that I've seen, how they was treating them and things like that, that's horrible. You have to be a sick individual to be able to treat somebody like that. It's like, where's your heart and your compassion? It just shows how disconnected we are from our spirituality and from one another. But everybody, I think disconnection is a good thing, because that's why everybody wants to belong to something and identify themselves with something. Every time you identify with something or try to belong to something or put yourself in a group, you disconnect yourself in a subtle way. Because when mm-hmm. you do that, you it's like a discriminatory thing. You have to separate yourself. You have to begin to discriminate and see differences. That's the only way you can do that. And so every time you do that, you do have a subtle disconnect, you know. And I just think that it's sad. I can't even see it getting better, unfortunately. And with that being said, you know, I'd like to hear what Brother Kevin's going to say about that. What's your view?
Ah, no doubt. I just feel like, okay, if we look at the earth like a Navy ship or something, right? And if there's a problem on the ship, who do you go to? You're right. You go to the person in charge, the captain. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the earth is being controlled by devious people. You know what I mean? People who don't have human interest in mind. They don't have the best interests of the earth in mind. None of that. You know what I'm saying? These people are here to cause confusion. Like Love Lachey said, like the whole earth is confused at this point because the people in charge who make the rules, who control the resources, these people are deceivers. You know, they're master deceivers. So with that, when you look at slavery, actually, slavery never went nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? Slavery has been around since we've understood it. You know, we thought it was outlawed, at least in America, you know, after the Civil War, blah, 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 whatever story they tell. But actually, it didn't go anywhere in this country as well. And also in Africa, worldwide, like slavery has been around. This story just popped up. But if you look at it, when you look at the foreign policy of the United States or Europe or whoever, you can call it white supremacy, whatever. When you look at the foreign policy, what they do is when you go into a country and remove the leader, you're going to open the floodgates up for more confusion, more militant groups and different type of sects and factions to come in and just basically run crazy. So like what happened in Libya, that's the same thing that happened in Afghanistan. Once the West or the America went in and destabilized the country, then you got all these people coming in fighting for power. You know what I'm saying? And then you just put them against each other and you just causing confusion. Same thing happened in Iraq. When they went into Iraq, it just opened the floodgates. ISIS, whoever, you know, whatever boogeyman or terrorist group they name, they all going into these countries and setting up shop. You know, and what happens is the people start to flee because they don't want to be in a war-torn country. They start to flee, and then they get vulnerable, you know what I mean, because they on the move, they got to move. So anybody with weapons and more manpower can just dictate what they're going to do. You know what I mean? And a lot of these, like Brother Mustafa said, a lot of these European countries don't want these Africans flooding into their country, even though they created the situation in their home country. They created the chaos to why they leaving. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what happened when these countries go into Africa or these other places. They start the wars, and then the people have to be displaced. And then typically what's been happening in history is they would go to Europe or they would come to the United States. You dig what I'm saying? Prime example, when the United States went into war with Vietnam, after the war, that's when you start seeing a lot of Vietnamese refugees come over, a lot of people from Laos, you know, Cambodia, all these different countries, they start coming over. Same thing after World War II with the Japanese. After World War II, we fought the Japanese, dropped two bombs, and then people from Japan start coming over. So that's typically what happens. But in this case, because Europe don't want these people, these Africans, to come into their country like they were doing in the past, and it's getting overcrowded. You know what I mean? They release numbers like Europe is getting brown and Europe is turning Muslim and, you know, all these different type of things. So they're afraid. So they're allowing slavery to go on. There's a lot of NGOs in Africa that are exploiting the country. NGOs are non-government organizations, basically corporations that are setting up shop in Africa and basically just taking over. And really, I would say in an indirect way, they're probably responsible for the slavery that's going on, you know, because they're allowing it to happen. And then when they removed Gaddafi again, it became a problem and opened up the floodgates for people to come in. So I think, you know, this has been orchestrated. I think this is the plan. They just finally putting it out there like it's a new thing, but it's been going on for a long time. Slavery's been going on here for a long time based on crime and all that. So basically the entire planet is enslaved in some form. You know what I mean? Especially America, because we're working off debt. We're the most in debt country, and that's what slavery is. Debt is slavery. You know what I mean? If you owe somebody, you basically enslave, you know, in so many words. You know, you may have freedoms where you can walk out and travel and do all this, but you're still not free because you're still in debt. You know what I'm saying? So this is the way the architects designed it. This is the way they want it. It's very cruel to see it in this modern age. And, you know, it just hurts to see people like Love Lachey being treated like that, you know, especially in this modern age where we can actually think and see the era from the past and how, you know, slavery affected people and affected humanity. So, you know, this is the way they want it. Is going down like this. I think the masses really need to tap into to themselves and try to figure out, you know, how we go move forward, because the people that's in control are, you know, they're destroying the planet, you know, by any means necessary. Basically what they're doing, in my opinion, is they trying to hold on to something that they're going to lose anyway. You know, because the world is changing, people are waking up, so they're just trying to prolong themselves being in power and in control over, you know, the people and the resources. So I'll leave it right there. I know I'm kind of rambling.
No, you all good, Brother K. You all good. You know, I'm listening to both of y'all making some good points, so I just wanted to tie into some of the stuff you said. Because, you know, going back to the exact situation of how this is taking place in Libya, and looking at why people are even leaving their home countries in the first place. You know, you got a homeland, you know, something's going on in your homeland that you feel like you have to migrate away anyway. And we get a mass amount of people who are migrating. It's not like one or two people. So it's problems going on in these people's homelands that's making them leave. Mm-hmm. So something needs to be done about that. And I was gonna say that
that's the U.S.
people
policy,
need to
though,
learn.
Yeah, that's the U.S. policy though. That's the foreign policy when we go into these countries. If you remove a sovereign leader like Gaddafi, then you don't have a formal government to protect the people. You know, provide different services, and then it just gets chaotic. Because, you know, truth be told, on the low, this is really ethnic cleansing, and that's the term that was used immediately after you know, Gaddafi was took out. They was using the term ethnic cleansing. They were ethnic cleansing the dark Libyans. You know what I'm saying? And this is what was going on.
I know that, in my opinion, you know how they give a lot of these people aid, and I want to ask both of y'all this. You know, they send aid over, and aid is supposed to help these, you know, send them food over and clothing. To me, in my opinion, aid doesn't work. You know, all that does is like put a Band-Aid over a wound, but it's not treating the wound. You know, people have to be helped or taught or teach themselves how to be self-sufficient. So to me, becoming self-sufficient will keep you from leaving your homeland. So I know we kind of went over a few reasons of why these people are leaving their homelands and not being self-sufficient. So I want to ask both of y'all, starting with Love Lachey, what do you think can be done in these poor countries that can, you know, stop be, you know, stop them from leaving their homelands? What can be done to teach them how to be self-sufficient, or to help them, like I say, help them from leaving their countries in the first place?
Well, of course. Now, we're talking just specifically about this situation. I mean,
yeah, because one thing I was going to throw this in there too. That's why I started with you first, because you brought up population control. And in my opinion, that is one thing that can help these situations, because if you're in a poverty-stricken country, me, myself, I don't understand why you would keep producing, keep generating life. You know, if there's hardly enough resources there for the people that's there, why keep breeding and making more people? So keep that in mind.
One thing about it,
the answer. But yeah. Let her speak up, Paul.
Well, I feel like it's always enough resources, first off. It's just mm-hmm. how things are being controlled and who's controlling, who is in charge. The person that's in charge, which really should nobody be in charge, because these resources belong to everybody, you know. And sometimes things happen with Earth that does cause us, a group of people to may have to migrate and move and change. So we're supposed to have freedom and free will to be able to move and roam around this earth as fit, you know. In this specific case, if they want to leave, you know, I say they should be able to leave. If they want to stay, it should be some type of programs in place that could assist them to be. I don't feel like we have a lack of resources, and that's just a way of controlling things by saying we don't have resources. It's a way that whatever is they're lacking there, it's a way for that stuff to for them to have it. You know, whoever is holding it hostage, then maybe somebody needs to knock on their door. You know, but I think it's hard for me to really go along with the way that this thing is, I guess, the way the world is structured. It's hard. I know I'm living within the world, so I am doing things within it, but I try not to get too entangled with it, and it's really a challenge for me to go beyond where I'm at and think like that, because it's ridiculous. For me, it's like, if we have resources here on Earth, we have this for everybody. Nobody owns it. Nobody created it. I can't get with it. You know, I just cannot get with it. So whomever is in control, I don't care if it's a company, whatever, I think maybe a group of people need to go and knock on somebody's door, you know, and demand it. And just demand the resources that we need, and I mean that's needed. You're thinking about, you have parents there with children that they're trying to provide for or protect, and then you want them to just sit back, and it's like, give these people the things that they need. Give them what they need. It's not.
When you say give them what they need, are you saying like, outside countries give them what they need? Who do you mean when you say give them what they need?
I mean, whoever have what's needed, whoever have the resources that they need, because at the end of the day, it don't belong to nobody. I don't care where it comes from. Like I said before, my mentality is that, you know, there are things that happen, you know, like natural disasters that's beyond human control, earthquakes, things like that. And sometimes a race of people or a group of people may need to migrate and move to another location because something detrimental happened just due to natural disasters. And I think we should just, period, be able to have the free will, whether it's that or just you just want to leave. I think people should have the free will to roam. And when it comes to resources and things like that that's needed in Africa, I think it should be given to them. it shouldn't be held hostage. They shouldn't be needing things. I think it should just be given. I think we're supposed to be here to help one another.
Okay.
Brother K, we feel the same way?
I mean, you know, as far as the population control, I do believe that people are worried about population control. I don't think that's an issue personally, like overpopulation of the planet. I don't think that's a particular issue. But to answer your question about why they're fleeing, I think in this case, as far as Libya, Northern Africa, Sudan, all those places, I think they fleeing due to war. You know what I'm saying? There's civil wars going on. You got quote-unquote ISIS, which all of this stuff is manipulated by the CIA. You know what I mean? Make no mistake. It's manipulated by France and Britain, Germany. Like, all these countries are meddling in these business and causing these divisions and causing these wars. So these people are leaving due to the war, economy reasons, better opportunities. You know what I'm saying? These are the reasons they're leaving. So it's kind of hard to say that, you know, maybe they should stay and buckle down because, I mean, you living in a war zone. Like, everything's shut down. What do? You know what I'm saying? Either you fight or you try to, move your family. Or you flee, right. You fight or you flee or you move your family. So, and then as far as your point about poor countries and poor people still having babies, one thing you're not going to stop is people having sex. Like, our two strongest desires are food and sex, period. That's what drives humanity. That's what keeps us going. You know, that's just what it is. Like, that's never going to stop, you know, as far as the people having sex, even though they're poor. Like, we see that all the time in America. You know what I'm saying? But
it's like even the Chinese people, it's like when the Chinese people was having their issues, they knew how to say, okay, we got too many female children. And unfortunately, they were started killing off the female children. And they got to a point, it was at one point where they was, had said, people can only have X amount of children. And it seemed like knew how to correct some of these issues. And I'm wondering, can these same tactics be used in countries like Somalia or, you know, places that's hurting right now?
I don't know about that. I mean, China really is a billion people late, man. They just so populated. They should have put these in early. Like, there's really no way to stop it, even though they did have some laws like that in place, you know, from what I understand, too. But they still over a billion people. You know what I'm saying? They still a billion late. And I don't think it's necessarily populations in countries like Somalia or Rwanda or Zimbabwe. It just happened recently. We had my man Mugabe get out. It was a military coup. But population's not the problem. What we're missing here is the European power structure is destabilizing Africa. They going in for the kill. You know what I mean? This is recolonization 2.0. And they going in and just taking over Africa. Like, they're trying to maintain. The Chinese are coming in. You dig what I'm saying? And there's a battle for the most expensive real estate on the planet, which is Africa. And so, you know, they're going in and destabilizing. So we cannot miss that point that the European powers, white supremacy, are going in and causing these divisions and confusions in this country. So it's not the amount of people, it's the agitators from the outside that's coming in and, you know, causing these, causing the issues. And then they're denying the people that's trying to flee. They're denying them the ability to a better opportunity in their country. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot going on, and
now,
I don't think we should miss the fact that other agitators are involved in this.
Now, the only thing I would say why I kind of disagree with y'all on is, like, like I was saying, like with Somalia, and they got this like their third famine in 25 years. You know, at some point, the people have to realize where they at and make some type of necessary change to combat that. Because even all the time you say people should be able to go wherever they want to go, but what happens if you go somewhere like, I'm just using a place like China for example, but if you go somewhere where it's already overpopulated, or you go, or you trying to migrate to a place where they don't want you to come because they trying to not have overpopulation, or try not to have these issues and to sustain the quality of life that they have in and on their land. So I can understand why they wouldn't want a mass group of people migrating into their land. I mean, you would want to help everybody, but it's just not beneficial. It's like at your house. If your house is set up for you and your family, and they maybe already be full, and the other half of your family lose their house, I mean, you can only take so many people into your house before the resources that you have are now gone. So you can't feed your children because you're trying to feed everybody, the whole entire family, off the limited resources that you have. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're missing one point, and especially in the case of Europe. If you're causing the problem, then what are these people supposed to do? Like, in your scenario, it'd be like, you know, the person who's allowing them to come in is also the one that burnt up their house. You dig what I'm saying? If you burn up somebody's house and then they got to come live with you, and now your resources are spread thin, that's your fault because you burned up these people's house. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the case of, I can't agree with that in the case of Europe and America, because even here, we're allowing Syrian refugees to come over here. You dig what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure Trump may have put a stop to it, but I know when Obama was in office and they was having their issues over there, there were a lot of Syrian refugees that were coming over here. Like, I personally, there was a population that came to this part of the country, St. Louis. You know what I mean? I see them up at the Y in different places, but they're here. And that's due to the fact that America's over there meddling in their business, along with Russia and some other entities. So I feel like if you go in and cause the problem, yes, it should be your duty to assist the civilians who are not fighting to you know, provide some type of better life for them, you know, if they're fleeing.
But you know they're not going to do that.
Right.
That's what I was saying about the part about being self-sufficient, because even though we know that these other places wronged them and put them in that situation, we know that they're not going to care, and they're not going to try to put them back on, you know, help them out. So I'm just saying, at some point, what can be done, or how can a group of people say, look, this is what we're going through, and we need to make some changes, you know, all across the board, so that we can be self-sufficient. Not allowing people to come in to your land and take it over, or trying to come up with innovative ways to harvest crops, you know, to feed the people. Also, if you know that we are having a drought, and people should be on, like, you know, we always talk about colds. People of a country should say, we need to get on cold. We got a drought coming. We're in a drought. We shouldn't be having sex, unfortunately, even though, like, I agree with you that that's something that people love to do, and it's hard to stop for them to stop doing. But in a situation like a drought, you would think, hey, we need to say, look, stop producing, because we can barely feed what we already have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. The
I think it's going to take spiritual guidance. I'm sure you guys are not surprised by that answer, though, but I just think it's going to take spiritual guidance.
I agree.
On giving someone the right guidance and the right steps to take in order to, you know, be able to deal with that situation. you know, to come up with the right solution and the right answers, it's going to take spiritual guidance. And when you're in a hostile environment, it's no other way. It's going to have to take spiritual guidance. It takes spiritual guidance regardless, but when you're in a hostile, dysfunctional circumstances like that, when the situation is so chaotic and out of control, you can't. Those are the times where people mostly realize you have to seek spiritual guidance. You have to at that point, because what else? Just like you're saying, like what do you do? You know, if you one person, even if you had a gun, it's not good enough. You know,
I'd like to touch on that, but I do know we got a call online too. But go ahead and finish making your point. I'll touch base back on that.
Okay, let's take the caller. Caller 314-755. Caller, are you there?
Yes. If you don't mind, I would like to be brought up to speed on the conversation of are you still waiting in on the matter of slavery and also the sex trading over in the east, eastern parts of Libya and over in those different countries. Well, most of those countries are trying to gain their independence, and a lot of those countries are that you name, Libya, and all of those are most of them are Muslim countries, and most of them as Orthodox Muslim, I'm saying those that are hardcore, and they treat most of them are treating their women as second class citizens, and that mentality have to be it's got to be done away with, and some of them in their country, but it's a whole total different rule, a set of rules that govern that those countries over there than it is that govern our country, you know. And so it's a lot, and I may have missed out on a lot of the conversation, but I know that the rules that govern or the laws that govern over here don't govern over there, you know. And so, and even in a biblical sense, the Bible speaks about the sex trade, slave trade. It speaks about the people of the Eastern because of the oil, you know, the wealthy Arabia. Basically name Arabia, and over there, and how that they will because of that money. Sell women and have women prostituting for them, and so there's a lot of things which it don't make it right, but those are the laws that govern over there, you know. And I don't, you know, and I know it's not a,
so
it's a moral
think,
issue.
Carla, what you think can be done to stop something like that? What in your opinion, what can be done to stop some of these, you know, moral indecencies that you're saying that can stop these people from migrating from their country, even going to Libya in the first place? Why flee your country to try to go to Europe when you already have your homeland? So what can be done to even stop that?
I don't
believe in to put yourself in a situation where you can get caught up in the slave trade.
I think that, you know, that's nothing. I mean, by your own free choice, if you want to go over into a hostile environment, in which you have been warned about the, especially, and then I don't think we understand, you know, radio host, I don't think that we understand the laws that govern over there. And so we go running over there and wanting to be a citizen over there. And what I don't understand, the laws that govern over there is totally different from here in America. But like you said, there are people who will want to go over there and be a part of be a citizen over there, but they laws govern, and they force religion on you. If you're not a Muslim, dare not say that you're a Christian. You may lose your head.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're forced to be. As a matter of fact, that is the you're forced to join a certain religion over there, and they won't accept anything else other than that. They won't accept anything else, any other religion, and it is almost like a jihadist, which it is, a holy, what they call a holy war over there. They don't, you cannot go over there. They don't respect the freedom of religion as we do it here in America. They believe in one.
But in this situation, you got countries, you know, that's already over there in that continent, and these people are fleeing their country in order to try to go to Europe. So it's like, it's not like you're getting people that's just saying, oh, I want to just travel, you know, or see the world. These people are trying to escape, you know, like Brother Kev said, either they experiencing war in their countries or they going through some drought or famine in their country. So they having major issues in their country that's making them want to flee from where they're at. So that's what I'm saying. What can be done to help these people from having to flee? I'm not talking about just a normal just person that's just wanting to leave just to go sightsee. I'm talking about people who are mass migrating out of these countries because they got major issues going on in their country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is a big problem. I don't think that there is a one answer solution other than I think one of the hosts said that they need faith, a religion. And I think that not just faith and religion, because most of them are so-called religious people. They call themselves religious people, and yet they uphold those different types of behavior. They justify them. 20 and 30 wives, they justify 40 and 31. Then they treat women as second-class citizens. And I don't blame them for wanting to free and get away from that type of – it's not right.
Let's bring Brother Kevin. He wanted to make a point.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something real quick because, to my understanding, I think slavery, sex trafficking, organ trafficking, it's illegal in Libya too. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's necessarily the laws. Now, a lot of Muslim countries do go by Shia laws and, like the caller said, strict Orthodox Muslim laws. However, I don't think slavery and sex trafficking is allowed within those countries. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to say that now. Yeah. But it is a different society. And when you get up under Muslim laws and Shia law, it's very different. But in defense of Muslims, I would say that Christianity also treats women in a similar manner, maybe not as harsh, but the women just recently were allowed to, you know, be preachers and pastors or, you know, some things like that. Like, this is very recent history. So a lot of religions, when it comes to women, don't give them, in my opinion, don't treat women fairly or give them, you know, leadership roles or what have you within a particular church. So I think that's across the board. That's something that may need to be fixed when it comes to religion and dealing with humans. So, you know, it's just a lot going on.
Right, but see, I think that in understanding from a biblical understanding, I think that men have been confused concerning that issue, and even in our faith of Christianity, they have been confused because if you look at scriptures, the scripture does make a distinction between man and woman because man is the scripture calls him the leader of the house or the. He is the Adam, was the first man created. He, you know, there is some distinction, but where to put those distinctions, you know.
Right.
Man is a stronger, and the woman, as the Bible says, a weaker vessel because he's built differently.
This is true.
And but how to distinguish, like you said, how to distinguish between the position. Of the woman within our religion, and what they should be as ministry should be doing. So you are right. There is a lot of confusion on that issue.
That is correct. And back to the point with the slavery and what they're allowing. Like I said, I don't think they're necessarily allowing it. I think due to the fact in this specific situation with Libya, they don't have an established government. Yeah, you know, there's nothing really established, so it's just a free for all with people, you know, with bad intentions to come in and exploit the civilians. You know,
all the people that's already there. Because like I was saying, a lot of these people are coming from these other countries, and the reason they coming into Libya is because right now, since the government is so unstable, it's the cheapest route to get to Europe. So they coming there thinking, you know, they giving people this money, paying what they call human smugglers to get them there. You know, they coming across the desert and paying these people to get them there. And once they get there, they thinking they're going to find a cheap route into Europe. But instead, the radical people that are already there end up robbing the people and enslaving them. And that's who's doing the stuff, is the people that's already in Libya taking advantage of the migrants who are coming in looking for a cheaper way to get over to Europe.
Can I make this one point? Can I make this one point before you get off? You said what can be done? You know, there is a biblical passage that says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can people do? Or the righteous, you use the righteous do. The foundation is that type of, like you said, there is no government there. There is no, the government is unstable, rather. The government, unstable government, there is nobody in power to help those people. There is nobody in power to they have to migrate. So, therefore, he said if a foundation is destroyed, you can't do nothing but trust in God, the God of heaven, to make the moral, God of the moral universe, to make these things right. And no wrong, no matter how slavery, sex trafficking, no unjust or immoral law will go unpunished. And eventually, it will come to an end.
Well, hold on for a second, Carla. We're going to try to come back with you. Lovely Shay, let's see if we got any other calls want to chime in.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a caller from area code 404-921. Call all you. 4921.
I mean,
call all
you. I was just checking out what you guys were doing, really. So, I mean.
Indeed.
Okay, you want to comment right now?
Appreciate the call.
I'm not a religious person, so I can't, like, get into no conversation about something that's real and going on, and people start talking about some religious stuff. Like,
that's fine. Well, what's your comment about what's going on with the slavery in Libya? Do you have any thoughts on what's going on and what can be done to remedy the situation?
The African Union has to get stronger. The people in the diaspora have to not only donate more money, but time and effort towards the continent to make sure they can't pull off stuff like this. This is Barack Obama and being convinced by Hillary Clinton to go in and remove Gaddafi. They knew if Gaddafi failed that country would be splintered into what it is right now, and then they sat on their hands and did nothing as these people they called before rebels, who they supplied money and weapons, are now abusing all of the black people they can get their hands on that are coming through their country and some of their former countrymen. So when we get real stuff going on like that, no, you're not going to pray your way out of this. You got to do real action and get stuff done to solve it. But
I got one other question for you, Carla. With the people that's, because we asked this question earlier, I don't know if you heard, but when you got people that's fleeing their countries, like in Somalia or Sudan, you know, they're going through droughts and having, you know, war times going on in their country, and they're trying to flee and get to places like Europe to have a better life. What are your thoughts that can be done to help a country like Sudan? Or what can be done with the country of Sudan to try to stabilize it so where these people don't have to flee their homeland?
First things first, we got to do our homework on these areas and know what's going on. And then at that point, we can apply pressure where we are locally. There's way too many black people in Europe to allow them to get away with what they do. Way too many black folks in America to allow them to do what they do. You're talking about the remnants of colonialism. You're talking about their ability to pull the resources out of those areas by either destroying governments or arming, you know, one side that they want to cause trouble, and then later on saying, oh, these people can't govern themselves. No, you're talking about European and Western intervention in Africa.
Fact.
Each nation that's in trouble, you can just start looking up what commodities come out of that nation, and you'll realize who's there, whether it's the French, the English, the Americans, or whoever. But,
fact.
It's not an accident.
That's what it is. Yeah, and I want to add on to that, caller. Like, what we do have to keep in mind also is, no matter what, the few is going to always control the many. You dig what I'm saying? The few is going to always control the mass. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but in this case, the few, meaning the African leaders, are bought and sold by these Western powers. So it just trickles down and causes a lot of confusion throughout the population. You know, they're selling resources to the Europeans, or either they've been strong-armed and their hands are tied and they're puppets of these, you know, European Western powers, white folks. You know what I mean? Like, these are the people that are controlling these countries and going in and controlling these leaders, and they just forgetting about the population. You know what I'm saying? So that's number one, because the masses of people are just going to follow whatever agenda is pushed out there. You dig what I'm saying? Whatever agenda, whatever social engineering or news or media propaganda is put out there, typically the masses of people are just going to follow along. You know, so when you put out confusion and different things and violence and war, and you creating all these things, you're going to have an unstable country, you know, that's ruled by a corrupt leader, you know. So
that's why I was saying that we these countries also, and you probably gonna disagree with me, but like I say, I'm a believer in you learning from your history and you learn from the past and you pay attention to how these things take place, because when you're in a country that's suffering, at some point you have to try to figure out a way to become self sufficient and know what you're up against. Because if you don't, I'm not a big believer in all the aid. Like I said earlier, aid, that just puts a Band-Aid over stuff. You know, at some point, when you're at a country and you have a homeland, you have to get to the point where, by any means necessary, you make yourself self-sufficient. Or else
my man, real quick, I'm going to need you to look up Walter Rodney, how Europe underdeveloped Africa. I'm going to need you to look into... I'm going to let you look into every ancestor that said, no, the resources are ours. We're not going to allow you to do this, and fought against them and see what happened. They assassinate that.
But
leader.
That don't mean you stop. Exactly.
Hold on. Because what you're doing right now is really damaging. So I think people need to know this. The people who stood up and said, we're doing our thing democratically. We're taking over our land. We want our stuff back. We want to run our country. They killed those people, install a puppet who was usually educated in Europe, and pay that person to keep things status quo. So it's not a thing of the people just realizing or deciding that they want to change. We're talking about world affairs and the arm of what you would say the U.S. as far as using the military weapons to keep people in place. It's not that they'll yell at you if you try to come at them. It's that they'll kill you.
But at the same time, just sitting back, you can just sit back and think that you still have to fight, even if you do get slaughtered. Whatever you
which
still
is
have
what
to do
they
this.
Do. That's what I'm saying. It's you got to be careful with some of the stuff you say, because these people actually do. That's
have
why we always hear about war torn areas or revolts getting put down violence. So
you have to revolt or become a slave.
When we put the onus on the population,
as opposed to
putting the onus on the people who are the invaders and the occupiers, we're missing the whole board. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you, my man. No disrespect.
I feel where you're coming from. And I totally agree where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to unite on that level.
That's the thing we're trying to do worldwide as a diaspora. So what you're saying, like the question you just posed, you have to keep in mind that question has been posed a lot of times, and people have implemented plans to combat these Western powers. You know what I'm saying? But we're missing a key thing, and that's a code. We're missing
the military
code. Yeah,
power
we're missing
to be
the code.
Able to beat them back. But even more, all they can do right now is put out a damn letter saying that they disagree with the things going on in Libya. They can't put boots on the ground. So that's a problem, the fact that you can't make them do what you want to do. And I mean, just think about Lumumba in the Congo. how he took over, had his people ready, and what they do. They killed Lumumba, put a general in power as the so-called president, and then rule the country and pull out all the resources, the cobalt, the coltan, the things that are necessary for every laptop and phone that all of us use across the world. So, like, these are high-stakes fights. Like, this ain't no little stuff we're talking about.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, this is a fact. This is geopolitical
war
going on. Yeah, this is big war. So it's a lot going on. So it's not as simple as the population just, overthrowing, although they do play a responsibility.
No, it's not that simple.
But it's not that simple, exactly. That's what I'm just trying to say. It's really not that
simple.
Yeah,
and it goes back to the so-called aid. Aid written in the form of debt from the IMF and World Bank. What they do is they load up a country with debt, and then the country that they're stealing from, they tell them, you still owe us money. So therefore, you can't build your roads, you can't build your hospitals and schools, because the majority of your government budget is now going to debt to the damn country that's robbing you. So,
and Haiti is a perfect example. Haiti is a perfect example of what you
there
just
you
said.
There you
perfect
go.
Example. Perfect. So
y'all know it too, but I just wanted to make sure, other folks get that framework with you, because it's such
indeed.
A complicated topic, man. But,
thanks
for letting me on. I'm going to keep listening.
Yes. We
appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, man. He was definitely making some good points. It's very complicated. They've been playing this game for a long time. Like I say, this is going to be recolonization 2.0. They going in, the European powers, that is, are going in and battling the Chinese. Because my thing is, at least with the Chinese going into Africa, from what I hear anyway, they're actually building infrastructure. You know what I'm saying? They're actually building roads and whatever, yada, communication type deals just to get things going. So in my opinion, I think that's very different from the European colonizers. Because they not building nothing. They go in and take the resources, have these little kids fishing for blood diamonds, have these people search for this coltan and all these different minerals, and basically just exploiting these people, paying these people pennies a day, you know what I'm saying, and exploiting them and taking them out, and they're not building anything. They're not putting the money back into the economy, none of that. You know what I'm saying? So... this is what's
Brother
going
Kevin,
on.
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Because you're right. That is what they're doing. But my concern is what's behind the scenes, though. Like, although what the Chinese are doing is building infrastructure and all that, I will still be leery and wondering what's behind the scenes of that. You know, are they working with the Europeans?
No, they take it.
Yeah, what's behind it is simple. There's nothing behind it. They going into Africa because it's one the richest real estate on the planet with the most resources. So by them being a country of 1 billion people, like we talked about, they need resources as well. You know what I'm saying? And
so
they want to control.
You think they're doing that as a trade? Do you think they have a long term agenda to say, okay, well, we're building this up? They really preparing it. For either the Europeans
I think they have an agenda. Yeah,
as the dark man ain't ruling, that's what matters. Long as the dark person is on the bottom, that's what. At the end of the day, when the darkest one's on the bottom, that's the here all be all to it.
And let's take another call. Famous 314-705. Caller, are you there? 314-705.
I'm here.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Colin.
Well,
hey,
Well, I don't know too much about it, so I don't really want to comment right now. But if you have another one, I'm going to try to do some resources.
Yeah, it's basically some modern-day slavery going on where they're actually selling workers and sex slaves for, for money. for currency or whatever. So, you know, that's the gist.
I just don't even understand how that's even possible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
in 2017,
exactly.
You wouldn't think it would be possible, but
it's crazy.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
Brother, it's still going on. People are taking advantage of other people, and it's really a shame.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm not I can't say that I'm so surprised though, because how the world is and how the hearts and the mindset of mankind, you know, with greed in the forefront, and, you know, and ego and all this wanting to have power and money and all that. I can't say that I'm that surprised. I wish I could say it. You know, I'm concerned about what's next. You know, because we liable to see anything with the dysfunction of man at this point. You know, we liable to see anything.
That's why I was saying earlier why we have to. You have to keep fighting, whether you get slaughtered or whatnot, whatever it is. You cannot just sit back and be diplomatic when it comes to these situations like this. You have to, at some point, you have to fight to the death. And I have to say it like that, because that's the only way. We're not going to pray ourselves out of the situation. We're not going to ask for help and forgiveness out of the situation. At some point, you have to fight to the death or be a slave. That's either choice A or choice B.
That's what it sounds like it's coming down to. But what about the U.S. government? They got their hands in every other country out here.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see why they ain't intervening in that country.
Right.
No, you know.
They intervened. They set it up. Exactly. They took Gaddafi out, remember? So they just let it took out the government, a sovereign government who had control, a force, and an army, took him out and just left the country wide open. So they're directly responsible for what's going on. Period. They're directly responsible.
I mean, and also I gotta say this too. Even if, let's say for instance, Libya was stable. You know, I pointed out earlier that even with that being said, Europe still don't want a lot of these people migrating there anyway. So these people could go through Libya, say they had a safe passage through Libya and made over to Europe. They could possibly go over to Europe and get put in slavery.
This is true.
So that's why I keep going back to what can be done to even help or stop these people from having to even migrate from their homelands in massive amounts of people. You know what I'm saying? Because wherever you go, it's already probably a group of people there that don't want you coming in to their area.
Right. You got to kick all the colonizers out, everybody out. If you're not native, indigenous to the land, get out, period. Circle your wagons, control the resources. Africa would be the richest country on the planet, or the richest continent with over, you know, whatever many countries. That, like, it would just be crazy how rich Africa would be if they control their resources. And it would be enough to go around, enough to feed the world, enough to build the world, like, it would just be crazy. But since we got the European colonizers in there who are greedy, they don't distribute the resources fairly. They maldistribute the resources and hoard resources from the continent, and we see the shape that is in.
And also trick the people, and also trick some of the native people there into buying into the same ideology.
Exactly, like
they
do over here, though.
Because they're not on code. Yeah, just like we not on code.
And
it's unfortunate that it's like that. You know, people got to start paying attention to what's going on. And like I say, do your diligence and research the history. Like the caller brought up earlier about, you know, the material he told me to investigate on. And I'm going to do that. Because if you don't pay attention to your history or know what happened to you, how things came to be, you know, they always say it repeats itself. It repeats itself. So we have to study this stuff. What goes on? How was it that people were even put in position to be put into slavery? You know, and it's complicated. Right. It's layers to it. People
layers,
are fleeing their countries for a certain reason. Then they get to another, to Libya, where we know that the government is unstable because America helped to make it unstable and allowing them to even put people into slavery. Then some of the people can't leave and go to Europe because they don't even want that. So it's layers to this stuff. But yeah, you
it's
have
super
to
layers.
Research. Yeah, this ain't nothing.
Right.
Ain't nothing new under the sun. Nothing is
nothing
new
under the sun. And then I'm gonna put
tactics
this bomb on you too. Yeah, but ain't nothing new. But I'm gonna drop this on you too, brother. Look, it's going to come down to us in the West. We going to have to put the Africans up on game. The Africans in the diaspora, we're going to have to put them up on game. And what I mean by that is everywhere you go, there's black people. You know, here, South America has the largest population of Africans besides Africa in the world. Then you got the Africans in Africa. You got the Africans in Europe, Caribbean. So we everywhere. But what I'm saying is the Africans in the West, we have become privy to the knowledge. And we have become, you know, we've had these different black power movements and we came out of slavery and did all this and that. You know what I mean? So we have gotten the knowledge based on the technology that we have because we got to remember, due to America being the de facto leader of the world, also black people and black culture in the West, in America, are the de facto leaders of black people in the diaspora. You dig what I'm saying? Because while we're gaining knowledge and we're able to go on YouTube and do all these things, research and do all these things, they don't have the capabilities in Africa to do the research on the history. They're in Africa and don't have the resources to do the research on that history. You see what I'm saying? But we have the information. We're doing the research on Africa. You know, we learning about our consciousness. We getting self-aware. We getting knowledge of self. And we doing all these things at accelerated rate. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there are not people in Africa who are conscious and doing that. They are. But there are also a lot of people who are under that system and just recolonized and just don't have the ability or the resources to do actual research on history. Or, you know, they have a culture, they have the oral tradition and all that, but we have the information to kind of break us out of the cycle, so to speak.
So, Brother Kev, let me ask you this then. What do you say to the people over there on the continent of Africa who do have access to internet, you know, books, resources, and instead of them studying war tactics or what happened to them, they end up studying America and how we living, and they want to live like how we live.
Exactly.
You turn around,
that's what happened.
They perming hair, doing their hair, they changing their dress to look like us, they taking on
this is what I'm saying.
Religions
yep.
that we have. So what do you
yep.
say to those people over there who are not taking the time to, like I say, study their history and stay true to their culture and learn what's going on with them and try to stop some of this stuff? I mean, I know we have to, like you say, bring some of it to them, but at the same time, they got a big part, a big role to play in this too.
Right. But like you said, though, they looking to us to take the lead. So they're following us in our ratchetness, in our ghetto state. They following us in our culture that we put out there. You dig what I'm saying? So actually, it's going to be up to us to change our culture, change our image, put, you know, make knowledge cool again, make reading cool, make learning cool, and all those things, and the rest of the world will follow that. You dig what I'm saying? Just like the rest of the world, like you say, follow hip-hop. They get perm hair, they get weaves and contacts because they're following black people in America, which is the quote-unquote leader, you know, whatever, whatever. But they're following us. So when we start to change and control our image to the world, we can put out more positive stuff. We can put out, you know, righteous, upstanding, black self-respect. Yeah, black self-respect type things. And we can put those out to the people, and then what's going to happen? They're going to start to follow that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're going to make that cool. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make knowing about your history cool. You dig what I'm saying? We're going to make knowing about who your enemy is cool. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you need to know what's going on out here. Like, that needs to be cool instead of the ratchetness. But they just following what other people put out on us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So once we get it together, like I say, once we control that image and get it together and put out that positive stuff and make that cool, learning, reading, you know, being strategic and military, once that stuff get put out there by us, then we gonna see the changes, you know what I mean? So it's really gonna be up to us to control our image, but right now we don't control our image. People package us up and sell us. Other people package us up and sell us, and you know. But we really the Jews though. And we just don't know.
No,
you know, we the Jews.
Well, look, are you still there? I was just going to ask you to comment on how you feel about what Brother Kev was saying.
I think he made some good points. You know, I'm with him. I'm definitely, I agree.
Okay, so so you believe the same way that we need to make the change here in America first, and we'll be the light to, as Black America, we'll be the light to the Africans over there.
Well, I think it's a good start, you know. I think any step is a good start, you know. Not doing anything is not, you know, of course we won't, you know, get the results that we're looking for, but I think it wouldn't be a bad start if it's going to start there. I'm not opposed to starting, even if we don't do it. You know, somebody needs to do it. And I think if we were to do it, and you know, as he was saying, I think we will have influence, you know, but I do think that the influence will come, you know, even if somebody else was to start it too, we just may have a different influence because they do desire to be, you know, like, and I think really what it is that the luxury and the way of living, the lifestyle, the comfort that we have over here, I think is what, that, you know, they kind of tend to idolize. And then, of course, yes, the freedom too, you know. But I do think that they do have, you know, or we do have some sort of influence over them because they kind of look up to the lifestyle of Americans in a way. So I do think
right.
if we were to, you
right.
know, they we will have an influence over them. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it's more than one way to skin a cat in a sense. So
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be a bad start for us to do it. Certainly it's not the only way either, you know, if it was to be changed there, if someone was to do it there, it just may have a different type of an impact, different, you know, a more subtle result than us doing it here first. But I don't think that's a bad idea. I say start somewhere at this point,
right.
anywhere.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a combination of both. But what I'm saying is the world kind of looks to us as far as the Black world kind of looks to, you know, Black people for the answers, like what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, because, you know, Malcolm X, international star. Martin Luther King, international star. Like Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. Like all these people had big influences on the world. You know what I'm saying? These were major people who were conscious, who were aware, and they had major influence on the world. So these days, we're just missing those great giants like that. You know, we're just missing those type people. But it would ultimately be up to us to show our African brothers the way, those that are still kind of lost themselves.
And you got to bring the awareness. The awareness got to come, and all of us got to be in anger about this type of stuff. You know, you just can't
mm-hmm.
sit back and not be mad about what's going on, because it could be you. It could be you next. You
That's
know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. With Donald Trump in office, it definitely could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. You know, I remember going back You know, because I know we didn't hit on Libya's being unstable a couple of times tonight. And I remember when they assassinated Gaddafi. You know, that was doing well, that was when Obama was president. And I just remember being so disappointed that even though I, like, you know, love to say a lot, I shouldn't be surprised, but just being disappointed in Gaddafi being assassinated under Obama's presidency, I was like, man, it's just, it's pathetic that people didn't realize what that man, you know, the power of that man and how important he was and what he was trying to do with the continent of Africa. You know, that people could be fooled into believing he was such a bad dictator and and went along with, yeah, we need to get him out of there. You know, and here it is now, you know, 10 years later, because I think that was in 2011, you know, after he was assassinated, you see how the country is now, it's worse than it was when he was there. You know,
right.
Just think, looking at these acts that these people are doing over there, it's crazy.
It really is, and it really is. But same thing happened in Iraq. Same thing happened in Afghanistan. So, I mean, you know, the history books, it's all documented. You can see the patterns that go on. You know, they go in, take out a leader, try to put in a puppet, and it doesn't work out. You know, they destabilize the whole region, and then you get chaos, you know. So, yeah, it's crazy.
It's a blueprint.
Like,
a straight up
it's
blueprint.
A blueprint.
You come
and then
you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it.
You can see it.
Two, three steps ahead.
You see it two, three steps ahead, and they run the propaganda to the American people through the news and all these stuff, show you videos. They even make up some fake videos just to get you to support the war or to support invading this country. They'll show you some fake videos. They'll play on your emotions, show some kids. Like, they'll do any type of thing to give the support of the people. So once they go in, it's like, hey, the people supported it. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is what they wanted. We needed to make the world safe and all this and that. They just give you propaganda. And it'd be so sad that, you know, Americans fall for it and watch the news. Like, to this day, like, Americans hate Kim, the dude in North Korea. You know what I'm saying? Like, they talking about he crazy and wild. I'm like, but Trump is the president. What are y'all talking about? He's not crazy? Like, are y'all serious? Y'all believe in this propaganda that's being put out? And he could be crazy and wild, but you still just don't take the propaganda because you know they're trying to drum up a war and get support. So, you know, the same thing be going on and whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
We just be naive to this stuff, you know, because this ain't and just to put it out there to people who don't know, I mean, this ain't nothing new, this whole slavery thing over there. This kicked off years ago. This stuff been going on. You know, people been complaining about migrants being put into slavery a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? So it could even be something to even be something to the fact of, you know, the reason that we're hearing about it now. You gotta look at it like that. We could be really pushing this agenda, could be really pushing being pushed to us now to set up something else. Making us aware of this. While we focusing on this, we sleeping on something else. You know what I'm saying?
For real. I don't think slavery ever stopped, in my opinion. I just think that a lot of people or the masses of people was never aware of it. You know, it never stopped. And we know with the prison complex here, but other countries as well. Like, I don't think it's ever stopped. It's just that they're doing this stuff right up under our nose. And especially in America, we live in a bubble. Like, we in between two big oceans. We just in a bubble. The media feeds us whatever they want to feed us. Not a lot of people travel outside the country, so a lot of people don't get to see what's really going on in these countries. And they just feed us whatever they want to feed us on the news, and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of Americans fall for the propaganda of these different type of situations that go on around the world because we don't know. You know, and they can tell us anything, and we think if it's on the news, it's true. We think we got a free press, and they telling us what's really going on. But no, the news is created. Like, so, you know, we just got to be careful. Like I say, they put it out now, but it's been going on for a while. It's slavery never stopped. You know what I'm saying? So, like Mustafa said, what's the reason they putting it out now? They just letting it out like, you know, there's a reason behind everything. I just
say, yeah, while this going on, we missing something else.
We missing something else. But I just say it's all up to the individual. To me, you know what I'm saying? I say change your mind, change yourself, grow, get knowledge, and you will change the world. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thing. It starts with the individual. I agree with Love Lachey on the spirituality. That's definitely a big key. People need to be in tune. And, you know, just take a step back and really evaluate and see how we got to this point in this world and, you know, where you or where we going forward. You know what I mean? Like what the world going to look like in 10 years or 5, 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's up to the individual to get on our grind and do our thing, you know.
Love, say, you want to say something real quick before I sign us out? Oh, well, shit, I think Love, they tied up.
No.
Go ahead.
I do agree with my brother Kevin. Slavery has not gone anywhere. It was just repackaged so it looks different, you know, to continue the deception. You know, they had to change it up, you know, because we had, it was almost, I guess, like, you know, when you do things for so long, they wanted to make it, they just reinvented it. It was just reinvented so that way it can be accepted a little bit more. And they had a little more support behind what they were doing. Stop making it look so gruesome, but still controlling, because it's still controlling. You know, so I do agree with that. I just wanted to add on to it and just say that I think spirituality is a strong, important way to make change and to see change in any situation that we're going to ever discuss, because you need that guidance, that spiritual guidance, because that helps, because sometimes people try to be so deceptive in what they are wanting to do and what they're telling you, that without spiritual guidance, you can always get tricked and deceived and find yourself in crazy situations. And then to get out of it, you still have to have some type of insight, some additional knowledge, you know, to help you to, you know, go be a step ahead of the person that's trying to oppress you or the person that's trying to harm you. You know, so I definitely always say, you know, try to have I just encourage everybody to try to have a spiritual background, try to be led in a spiritual way, so that way you can have that extra insight to things, and you don't have to just rely on so much of the natural knowledge, because that only going to give you so much information. You go outside, you only see one side of the house. You can only see the front. You can't see the front and the back with your natural. And that's all.
Well, that's what's up. That's what's up, y'all. We're going to get ready to sign it on up out of here. All I want to say, I appreciate the callers calling in. And as when it comes to this slavery thing, when it comes to issues abroad, you know, we got to keep continuing to fight against injustices of the world. Things that ain't right, you got to fight. You can't just lay back and just watch your stuff go on. You know what I'm saying? Do what you have to do. Spread the word. Whatever you can do to speak out or fight against oppression, do that. You know what I'm saying? We in this together, y'all. Collective Minds, join us every Sunday. We'll see y'all again next week, and we'll talk about something else interesting, y'all.
Facts.
Facts. All right, love and say, brother Kev. Signing out.
All right,
I'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.
See y'all next week.
Right. Shit so sad, sad. It used to hurt so bad, bad. How as soon as success comes, yeah. All these niggas get mad, mad. Niggas hating on the low, low. They don't wanna see me making. They tryna sabotage my show, show. They don't wanna see me making. Yeah. They mad at young girl, the trill, the trill. They mad that I do what I do, I do. They mad I be rocking these jokes, jokes. They mad I pull up in the coupe, yeah. I'm sipping wine out of Feral cup, yeah. I'm sipping